Let's give the band a moment to get their seats. Let's just respond to that picture. Let's not just pass the moment. So let's close our eyes. Father, as we hear your encouragement this morning, you're saying you are here to light. Are we willing to be lit? And Father, I pray for hearts that are willing to be lit as we respond to your word. Amen. 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 Al die lof, al die eer, kom u toe. Amen. Morning. Everybody warm? Well, you heard now where to get fire. Right. We're on a journey with a series, Made Ready Part 2 starts today. I'm going to quickly just run through last week. So what we're busy with, I started with Revelation 19, if we can just chuck that on there. It says, then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And we looked at that last week. We started on this journey. So last week we really looked at the dress. If you remember, we looked at 1 Thessalonians, really where Paul, in a sense, unpacked for us. But I'm aware that when you see a bride coming down the aisle, it's not that she just woke up that morning and put a dress on, right? At least I haven't been to that wedding. She just woke up, felt like putting a dress on, got the dress on. There's a preparation that happens that's over and above just putting a dress on. So today we're looking at, and we parked off in Matthew 24 and 25, but we're looking at that from different angles for the coming weeks and for last week as well. Is this idea of what is this being, this made ready? She clothed herself with fine linen, bright and pure. She made herself ready. What does Jesus mean when he speaks to us about being made ready? Right. So we looked at the dress last week. So this week, there's preparation that comes in advance. Like I know there's a lot of fitness that goes into it, and then there's on the day, all the makeup artists, the hair, don't forget the hair. So there's a lot that goes on around a bride being made ready. And today I wanna look a little bit at that. Sort of the theme of what is this, see the background picture is sort of this makeup kit. It's what I could find online with my limited abilities. And the scripture we're going to be parked in today is Matthew 24, verse 45 to 50, 51. So I want to read that just as a start. Jesus is talking about this time of being ready. And this is now after last week's section we looked at. He continues and he starts with this parable. And he says, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. And then it continues, but if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Woo! Okay. Jesus' words. Is Jesus talking here about you earning your salvation? No, clearly not, because it's not what we must do, it's what he has done. Right? We must be reminded of that every day. It's not what we must do, it's what he has done. And we, if I can go to verse 45, it says, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household? That's where we start. Jesus has done the work to establish the household. He has made us, he has adopted us, the Father has adopted us into his household. It is established. The question is, in this household, what is going on? Because the master, that is Jesus, he purchased the household with his own blood. See, it's not what we must do, it's what he did. Acts 20, verse 28. I think I have it up there somewhere. Where Paul encourages leaders in the Ephesian church, and he says to them, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Right, so Hebrews talks about this. It talks about Moses in Hebrews 3. He talks about Moses being a servant, and he talks about Jesus being the builder of the house. Right? So we need to just lay that foundation again before we get distracted by things like, okay, what must I do? And I must do. Right? Okay. So we got that. His household, which he has bought. And then we go back to Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Now, last week, you remember my wife wasn't here. She was away on a weekend. Now, I love my wife. I know she loves me. We're married. So the question is, does that just mean I sit back? Right? Do I just sit back? Well, she's married. She's stuck with me now. Right? Is that my approach? Is that how I'm going to show love to my wife? I'm just going to sit back now. We're married. She's stuck with me now. No. Last weekend, me and the kids were alone at home all weekend. Went amazing. Just want to say, but there was a need to make certain things orderly, not because we fear Francie, but because we love Francie. Right? So I packed the dishwasher, I swept a little bit and packed things away in anticipation of Francie coming, because Francie has a love language. She receives love in a certain way. I have figured out some of it. And I can pack the dishwasher somewhat right. Okay? And that's really, if we can keep that as a bit of a interpretation tool this morning. Did I pack it perfectly? No. No, but it was the heart with which I did it. Right? Yop is like, mm-mm. You see, it's not, when we're looking at, and we're looking this morning at what Jesus is talking about, he's talking about faithful and wise. It's not about perfection. It's about the pursuit. It's about what am I communicating, right? Because that it may not be it may not be the best packing of the dishwasher, but it communicates something behind it. You see, God has told us how he experiences us loving him back. This is not a mystery. In the scriptures, he has told us. He's given us, in his word, he has told us, this is how I experience you loving me back for what I've done. It's not about deserving his love. Jesus has communicated this. And in this account, in this parable, we see that one of the things that happens here is there is a delay. Right? We have two servants in this account. We have the servant who does what is the master's will, and we have the one, if we go to verse 48, says to himself, he says, my master is delayed. The master wasn't delayed. The master's coming on the day he's coming. It's like Jesus didn't miss the appointment for coming back. But there's a delay that's taking place, and it reveals to us the condition of our heart. The delay reveals to us the condition of our heart. It reveals whether we are a wise and faithful servant or, in Jesus' words, a wicked servant. Friday, I was teaching here at the school and speaking to the boys, and I was talking about Saul and David. You see, in both Saul and David's lives, one of the big takeaways for me is if you look at Saul, he didn't in the sense outright from the start break commandments, but he was not faithful in doing what God told him to do. And when God addressed him about it, he would say, Yomar, we bought the stuff to sacrifice to God. And God said, no, wipe out. But he says, no, but Yomar. So in Saul's life, there's this recurring theme of Yomar. And then we have David who outright, when he is experiencing this downtime, let's call it the delay time, he outright, in one move, breaks all 10 commandments. Right? That's what happens with Bathsheba. Outright, breaks all 10 commandments. And David, when God addresses him about it, his response is yammer. Not yammer, is it yammer? Isn't it yammer? Right? Psalm 51, we see it there. So we look at those two as examples of a servant in the household. Okay. But what does it mean to us? What did Jesus mean when he was saying, who is a faithful and wise servant? We can see the outflow of that. It's feeding the other servants at the proper time. Is with it. It can also be translated at the right season. Okay. So what does Jesus mean by the faithful and wise? It's the makeup and the hair. Okay? That's what we're looking at. Makeup and the hair. What does he mean? I'm going to run through a couple of things here, and I want these to test your heart, not to sort of like a checking where's your north this morning. Checking where's your north. So we're going to hit the first one. First one is faithful. Faithful, I think the first one is not that one. Faithful in representing the kingdom. Here we go. Jesus is looking, his love language, one of them, is you being faithful in representing the kingdom. We read in Micah, it says, for all the people walk each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. What does that mean? If you have a police officer, is he walking in his own name, or is he saying, I'm walking in the name of the police service? Yeah, so he's in uniform and he's walking, and where he goes, he is representing the police service. His conduct is ascribed to that of the police service. So the first thing God is looking for in faithfulness here, he's saying, are you representing the kingdom well? Let's look at the next one. So we're just going to run through these because these are things we can go meditate on. Oh, I messed up with my slides. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I think the sizing got lost. We'll read it from the Bible. Faithful in service, faithful in sacrificial love. We read in 1 John 2. I've got a different translation up there, but it's okay. 1 John 2, verse 5 and 6. I'm going to get there. Okay. Let's read here. It says, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. In which way did Jesus walk? In sacrificial love. He came to empty himself for our sake. So that's sacrificial love. That is walking faithfully in sacrificial love for one another. And yeah, test of faithful. The third one, faithful in service. Faithful in service. 1 Peter 2, verse 5 says, "You yourselves are like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Faithful in service. This is what Jesus is looking for in this servant that he has placed in his household, which he purchased with his blood. He's saying, "I'm looking for faithfulness in service." You are a priest in God's house. That means you represent people to God and God to people. That's what you are here in this community. That's our role, to serve God and to serve people. That's our role as priests in the household of God. I'm running through these because these are just the ways to test our north, all right? Faithful in giving. I'm going to read this. Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. It's okay. "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap." It's Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. "If we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." I read this account this week of a guy called Sam Houston. And Sam Houston was a big deal in Texas. That's why it's Houston's named after Sam Houston. So Sam Houston, towards the end of his life, he really shocked people because Sam Houston got born again. Okay? And then Sam Houston shocked people more because Sam Houston got baptized. And it was actually a big deal. They actually invited people to come and watch Sam Houston getting baptized, right? And then at Sam Houston's baptism, he made this commitment towards the church. And people were like, "What?" He was a really wealthy guy. So like, "What happened to Sam Houston?" And Sam Houston said, "When I got baptized, my pocketbook got baptized as well." And I thought that was really funny. That this is the response of faithfulness that we're looking at. And then I've got faithfulness in rejoicing, in prayer, and endurance. Romans 12, verse 12. "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." I want to read this one. 1 Thessalonians 5. We were looking at a lot of Thessalonians last week. Jesus said, where we read this, Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances." That is the same as enduring, is being thankful in all circumstances. These are touching on faithfulness. And then to finish, in keeping your word. James 5, verse 12. James 5 verse 12, "But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." That's James 5 verse 12. When Jesus is saying the faithful and wise servant, these are the aspects of faithfulness that he's looking at. Right? There may be more. I've just taken these out because these really test my north. Right, so welcome to my journey on the train. These tests, my north. I think there is a slide where I just summarize it for us. It may actually fit. I know what happened. I try to make things fit, and it took away the automatic sizing. There we go. Faithful in representing the kingdom. Faithful in sacrificial love. Faithful in service to God. Faithful in giving. Faithful in rejoicing, enduring, and prayer. But Jesus doesn't just say, who is that faithful servant? He says, who is that faithful and wise servant? I keep saying sermon. It's okay. Who is that faithful and wise servant? So we want to look, what does it mean to be wise? He's talking about practical wisdom here. Right? It's not wise as in the philosophers of the age. He's talking about practical wisdom. He uses the same term in Matthew 7:24. About the wise servant who built his house. Here you go. Everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It's the same wise. And we see in Matthew 24, verse 45, there is something about wisdom which understands the season, that understands the proper time for feeding people the proper food. Because that's in this parable. This is an indication of wisdom. I know what you need, and I know when you need it. I have prepared it. It's the application of wisdom. I want to park here quickly. We didn't put it in the announcements, but here's it was in the announcement, we didn't get to it, but here's something that I really want to promote. Right? I get to promote things from the pulpit. Tony Frieda has, since January, been seeking the Lord, pushing in for this marriage revival course that we are launching this week. Okay? She has been faithful in preparation, and she has been searching. So she's the scriptures and learning. So there's practical wisdom. And now is the time for us to have this meal together. So in this week, we're going to have this journey starting on Wednesday. It's there on Wednesday. Instead of small group, this week Wednesday will be the women. Next week Wednesday will be the men. And then the Saturday after that, we'll have a joint session. And it's an example for me of someone who has come with a burden. She is being faithful and wise. And now is the time. It wasn't January when she came to us. Wasn't the time? Now is the time. And I really am excited for us as a congregation for what this meal means for us, our household. Right? So anyway, as you can see, marriage revival, it's going to be great. And it's going to test us. It's going to grow us, it's going to stretch us, and it's going to lead us in life. Okay, so if you haven't signed up, connect table afterwards, go sign up. It's for everyone. It's obviously focused on marriages, but you may receive a seed that you can sow into someone else's marriage, even if you're not married at the moment. Because that is the sign of a faithful servant. He's able to feed others. This is one of the issues that the author of Hebrews has with the Hebrews. Says you should be teachers by now, but you're not. I need to lay again these foundational things for you. That's a theme in Matthew as well. Matthew, the discipleship textbook, is if you are being discipled, you will disciple. So we come to receive in order that we have something to sow. Okay. You hear my heart. I was thinking about this, why Jesus combines faithful and wise. I mean, it wasn't just like he's trying to fill the space. I was thinking about in my own life, what did it look like when I was faithful but not wise? You see, when you are faithful in all these things that I've listed, but you are not being wise, you tend to slide into self-righteousness. You become that older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. I don't know if that's happened to you. It's happened to me. I'm busy being faithful. I'm busy being faithful. But what I'm not doing is I'm not remaining teachable so that I have something that I can. And teaching, this is just one part of teaching. Teaching is a lifestyle. We were singing a dangerous song earlier. Hey, this last song, super dangerous, people. Did you listen to the words? Let my life be worship. I mean, I sang it, but test me. When you are faithful, but you are not being wise, you are not looking at Jesus' teaching and applying it. You're not a hearer and a doer. Because that's what Jesus says, that guy built his house on the rock. He's a hearer and a doer. If we just hearers, okay, I'll get to that. Let me finish the faithful. When you're just faithful, you can become like the older brother. Lord, I do all these things. Here's my tick box. Craig's listed them. I'm hitting them. What about him? Yeah. Okay, stay in your lane. Here we go. What does it look like when you are wise but not faithful? When you are a hearer but not a doer? I'm sure this has not happened to anyone in this house. We have a very graphic picture in the parable because we see Jesus says the wicked servant is beating the other servants in the house. What does that refer to? For me, in my life, and this has happened to me, and I've encountered people like this over the years. Maybe it's never happened to you. People who are not being faithful in the house, but they are stacking up knowledge. They run around beating those who are busy serving in the house. We don't get everything right here. Sometimes we burn the toast, right? So what happens in the house when my kids want to make me breakfast and they burn the toast, and I'm not like losing it. Look, if my kid was a 5-star Michelin chef and they burn the toast every day, then we have to have a conversation, right? Because then you are not communicating love to me the way you can. Okay. But if we are not faithful, if we are not part of a house, and we are not serving, we are not sacrificially loving, we're not representing the kingdom, and we're just building up a whole bunch of knowledge, we end up with this place where we have a lot of opinions about what the church is doing wrong. I've seen this about myself. When I was out of that lane where I should be, busy being discipled and discipling, I end up in this lane where I start beating other servants. Yeah. Not a good place. We see how it ends for that guy. Thankfully, Jesus hasn't come back yet, so we can turn from that, become faithful and wise. Because that is why Jesus tells us these parables. He wants us to know what his love language is. He wants us to know he has purchased the household with his blood. He says, this is how I experience love. This is what I'm looking for when I come. Not if I come, when I come. Because it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Because the parable, the time that we are in, the delay, this is not it. The kingdom has come, but it is still to come. It's now, but not yet. And the reward is still to come. And that's what the heart of God is for us. It gives him good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It's Luke 12:32. But Jesus, when he's coming back, he's looking for this. He's told us. Have you got your makeup on? Have you got your hair ready? Let's stand. Can you grab the communion that was by your seat? If you are sitting alone, can you just maybe move to someone that is next to you? We can do this together. If you have got the instructions on how to open this yet. Yeah, there's a YouTube video. Right. Communion is something that you can do every day of the week. I start my day with communion because I want to be in communion. Right? And what we see here is Jesus saying, the servants in the household, they are feeding one another. Maybe you don't feel like you have something to feed, something to give, right? Well, maybe you just entered the household. That's okay, because we see here, Jesus says there's a place where other people are feeding you, they are coming to you, they are helping you, but there's a place to grow. It's okay to start out burning the toast, right? That's the house. But then we want to grow to the place where we give that broccoli and it tastes good. Right? Because that's what we need. We all need one another to feed us that spiritual food so that the whole body grows. That's why we also do communion, to remind us that it's all about Jesus. It's what he has done. So as we take the bread, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body. That, yes, it was broken for us. Yes, you have been broken for us. But we know that your body is resurrected and we are part of your body. And as we eat this bread, we partake in the meal that you are. That your flesh is still alive and good food for us. Your body is still alive and good food for us. We thank you that your body invites us to this meal. We want to eat together as a sign of being servants in the house, feeding one another, and committing to be faithful and wise. As we take the cup, Lord Jesus, we come again and we remember that you purchased us with your blood. We are your household. We are living stones in your house that you have purchased by your blood. And we ask that you would open our eyes to see the season and the time that our fellow believer is in. We do not want to be beating one another. We want to be feeding one another, nourishing. Thank you that your blood has paid for our sins so that we can be yours. Let's drink together. I'm gonna ask Shamaitis to the heart of this morning is for us to come to a place again. We see what Jesus teaches and how he speaks to us and wants us to respond. We want to be found responding in the way that the Master receives love. That's how we want to be found. That's how he wants to find us. That's the bride he's coming back for. So I don't know where you are, what time of day it is. Maybe say no, but there's no space for me at the Sunday morning service to do whatever. Here's the thing. I don't know if Jesus is coming back on a Sunday morning. What if he comes back Tuesday at 10 o'clock? What are you doing then? Is your life worship then? Are we faithful and wise then? That's what he's looking for. And that's what the Holy Spirit is there to empower us to do. He's the encourager. The one who comes alongside us. So can we just close our eyes? Father, I thank you that your word is true and your word will remain. And your word will transform us. And your word is spirit and it is truth. And I pray that as we take this and look upon Jesus and what he has done, that we would have hearts to respond, to yield and be shaped, to be faithful and wise servants. And I pray that in Jesus' name. I want to ask the intercessors to come to the front. If you have any prayer need, if it was something in the sermon, if it was something in the worship, and you just need to agree with someone, you don't have confidence to agree with the person right next to you, right? Because everyone here is qualified to pray with you and agree with you. But if you want to just come and settle with someone, maybe someone you don't know, that's also good sometimes. You're welcome to come to the front and pray with someone. They will agree with you. They will pray for you. And for the rest, I'm gonna just dismiss the service. Father, we thank you that we can go into this week. We can be reminded of your word, that it will come and be to us life. It will come and be water to us, that we will have something to sow, something to give to those around us in the household of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.